Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us.
So we're down here at the Corn Crib down in Pepperwood, California. We're here with the Sarvinsky family, and we're talking about raising crops organically down here in Pepperwood, California. We also have Kaya the dog, who may make an appearance every now and then because she wants to be a star too. So let's talk about raising corn organically. Is that a difficult thing to do?
The corn variety that we grow is difficult to grow. It's very hard to germinate. We need great soil temperature in the 80s to get it to germinate. If we don't get that kind of soil temperature, seed will rot or we'll get some wireworm or cutworm damage, and our plant population is therefore greatly reduced.
Yeah, it's like putting candy in the ground. For the bugs. It's like, let's feast.
It's too delicious for them to pass up.
So as the season progresses, obviously we want to get early corn to the market, and that is our most challenging, is that early corn, until ideal conditions arrive. In this year, it was around the 1st of June at seeding time. We got some corn in late April, and the stands were about 50% of what they should be plant population wise, but we did have some corn that we had at market in the 1st of August, and in the previous 3 years, we didn't have corn until the 1st of September. So we're about 4 weeks ahead of our corn, and hopefully we'll have it through mid to late October as we plant our patches about 10 days apart so that we have a constant supply for all the farmers markets and our stand that we have here at the farm.
Now, Gene, your family farmed this area before you came along to farm it. Tell me about that.
My parents bought the property after the 1964 flood. It was heavily strewn with flood debris. It took them some time to clean it up. My dad opened a stand. He sold to some markets in the Eureka Arcade area, but he also worked at Pacific Lumber Company, and this was kind of his hobby, and he brought his children down to do a lot of the work and keep them out of trouble. All nine of us at one time or another spent most of our summers here.
And this area was covered with mud during the 64 flood. How does that affect the soils here?
Well, it's really made great soil conditions. The silt loam that has been deposited here over the course of many floods has made it ideal growing conditions, as is the climate here, which is not your Eureka Arcata coastal climate. We're about 10 to 15 degrees warmer than the coast, but yet we don't have the inland climate as Garberville to the southeast that gets about 10 to 15 degrees hotter than here. So we're in a banana belt that the conditions for growing produce is really good. It doesn't get too hot and it doesn't get too cold. And this year has been an excellent year for growing our vegetables.
So I know that you're growing a lot of corn here, but you also grow other vegetables. Tell me about some of the other vegetables you grow.
We have various kinds of tomatoes, all the way from cherry tomatoes to early girls, big beef, which is a nice slicing tomato for a hamburger, heirloom. We have Virginia sweets that are showstoppers at the farmer's market because they're platter size, big, beautiful yellow tomatoes with a red infusion. We have some Roma type San Marzanos, delicious paste tomato, a heirloom called Polish Linguica. They are a sweet paste tomato and they just make a wonderful sauce. So tomatoes, we have lots of different kinds of peppers. Jalapenos are our hottest because I can't do real hot. Jalapenos really hot for me, so that's what I grow. And then we have an Italian sweet pepper and a cherry bomb, which is a nice pimento pepper. Fresh peppercinis, which are really good sauteed and then put olive oil or soy sauce on and eat them as an hors d'oeuvre. Early, we have cabbage and cauliflower and broccoli, but we can't grow that in the heat because they'll bolt. Cucumbers, summer squash. Now the winter squash is coming on. We have different kinds of acorn, a Hubbard, butternut, a spaghetti, and peas and beans.
Green beans are
a big seller. for us. We sell a lot to preserve, people that want to can or make dilly beans.
I was going to ask you about that. So it seems like there's this resurgence of people who are getting interested in canning. I mean, there are the people who always have canned, mm-hmm. but there seems to be a lot more younger people who are interested in canning. And have you seen that in your sales?
Yes, it's very exciting. It's very exciting to talk to those people that want to try it. I tell them to find a good book, and just it's so important to know what you're eating now. So much more important when you can get fresh organic produce and preserve it. You'll have the summer all winter long. It's just amazing. So I do a lot of sauce, tomato sauce. I do dilly beans. I do canned beans, which you need a pressure cooker for. So it's a
pressure
little
canner.
Bit different uh-huh. aspect. I do some pickles, applesauce, beets, pickled beets. My family fights over the pickled beets. We freeze corn, which is a family event for Gene and I anyway, and it is delicious.
I think what's really interesting too is when people come to you at the farmer's market, because you have the experience of having done it yourself, you can share that information with people. Because I think all the time people are like, well, I want to make tomato sauce. What's a good tomato for tomato sauce? And you having the experience of being a food preserver, you can share that information with people and tell them which are good varieties for which
yes.
types of preserving.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I love doing that. If they're buying a lug or a box of something, anything over 20 pounds, we normally give a price break because it's a lot of work to process and to preserve. And so I want people to do that, and I can provide that for them at a lower cost than a pound price, then that's what we do.
So it's important to share this information with young people who are thinking about preserving, but also talking about food and knowing where your food comes from. It sounds like you do a lot of work also with school children and having tours here. Tell about that.
We try to. We had one canceled this morning because it was raining, but we try to. We've had the extension office have one of their tours here with, we had about 35 adults that toured the garden. So yes. We think that's important. I think the Harvest of the Month Club that the county does, I see children come up to the stand or come up to the farmer's market booth and say, Mom, I had these at school. They're really good. Let's get them. And I'm going, yes, yay.
It's working.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's amazing.
So you have a couple of different ways that you sell your produce. You have this farm stand out here. What are your hours that you're open and how much traffic do you see come by?
The farm stand is open every day but Monday from 10 to 6, and we get a lot of local people from Rio del Fortuna, Scotia, and then South Garberville. But we also have a really cool clientele of tourists. I think one day I had someone here from Switzerland, New Zealand, Germany, all in one day, Denmark, Tennessee, Florida, which I know is not real out of the area, but kind of real out of the area. And they're just so excited to see fresh produce. We have a lot of bikers, like pedaling bike people, all the way from Canada, and they go as far as South America. It's amazing. We're trying to build up more fruit. That's what tourists like. We try to sell them on the corn. We offer them a fresh ear of corn to eat raw, and I can eat that raw, and I'm going, yes, it is organic. There's nothing on it. Don't I need to wash it? And I go, nope, unless you're worried about a little dust, you do not need to wash it. Uh-huh. Here, I'll give it to you to try. And they go, oh, and they're just so amazed at it that they normally buy a few more because you can't hold a lot on your bike. And it just broadens their horizons on what they can eat raw. So we sell a lot of tomatoes. I have a salt shaker up at the stand for them to go ahead and eat one. If they want to eat one right there, I normally give it to them to eat. So we have a lot of fun at the stand with visitors. It's just a blast.
And then you also go to some of the farmers markets and you have stands there.
Yes, we go to 4 farmers markets. We go to Tuesday morning in Old Town, Tuesday afternoon in Fortuna, Thursday morning at Henderson Center, and Saturday morning on the plaza in Arcata.
It's a great lifestyle. We enjoy, providing wholesome, nutritious product to the local community and get a joy out of seeing people consume our stuff in a sustainable, wholesome way.
Well, this is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Ginger and Gene Sarvinsky at the Corn Crib in Pepperwood.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.